8:11 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Summit County Council meeting tomorrow on the agenda discussion of whether to look at raising property taxes. In the studio, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie. How did I know you were going to want to talk about that one?
And why are we talking about it so early? Usually you don't start doing budget stuff until December, November, December.
A couple of things. First of all, the auditor needs to set the valuation and send out valuation notices. I think they have to be in the mail by July 1st. So in order to get those printed properly and, of course, spend some time discussing the valuation with council, you have to start in May in order to make all that happen.
Okay. So what we're discussing is revenue strategy. Bottom line is that the staff is recommending that the council consider raising property taxes?
Well, we have an issue. The general fund property tax that supports county services has never been raised. The county has relied and luckily so has been able to rely on new growth and the new growth calculation in order to provide the services that we provide and increase those services when we've needed to. In the last few years, because new growth has not kept pace with the cost of inflation, we're in a position where we have to look at what we do with property taxes.
Well, let's talk. I mean, we just increased taxes, sales taxes.
That's correct.
But that could bring as much as $8 million a year into the county. So why can't you subtract some of those transit and transportation monies that you were pulling out of the capital fund?
Well, you know, we aren't doing that right now. So so anything that's dealt with capital in regards to transportation or transit, we use sales taxes for those items. Naturally so with especially with capital projects, because they and sales taxes being a variable revenue dealing with the economy, we use sales taxes for those things because if there's a drop in sales tax, it's easy to pull back a road project per se. It's not as easy to pull back health department services or correction services or those types of things, which are supported with property tax.
Well, let's talk. In June, the council has to set the certified tax rate or a proposed tax rate. Is there a difference?
Yes. So the certified tax rate is what the tax rate would do according to state law. So if our overall value of our taxable value of property in the county goes up, the auditor has to adjust the tax rate down so that the county receives the same amount of general fund taxes as it did in the previous year. The only way that it's allowed to go up is if new growth and the calculation from that allows it to go up.
So you told me earlier that growth is not keeping up with inflation. It's not that we don't have growth.
No, there is growth. What we're experiencing, though, is, for instance, between around 2006 to 2012, we experienced new revenue from new growth. We'd get somewhere in the neighborhood between $700,000 and $800,000 of new growth revenue through property taxes. Between 2012 and now, we're only getting about $200,000 to $300,000 of new growth revenue from the new growth that we're experiencing. You know, it's a strange thing that the people feel like growth is rampant right now, but what they're really experiencing is the growth of employment and the growth of the traffic that's caused by people driving in to take jobs in the community.
Well, or is it the type of growth that we're seeing? I mean, is it residential versus commercial?
Well, we are. Residential growth has been very flat over the last 6 to 7 years. About 250 new homes built in the countywide over the last few years, compared to during the boom where we were having, 900 to 1,000 new homes built in the county. We've experienced over the last few years been very flat. Commercial growth also not very active at this time.
Yeah, but when we talk about growth, the fact that we are seeing growth, I mean, how much growth do you want, right?
Certainly that's one of the big questions. I mean, some of the things that we've also enjoyed, this community having relied on new growth to increase service levels that we enjoy has been a strategy in the past. But if you don't have the revenue to continue to provide those services, as you experience growth that's not supported by property tax or value growth, you have to find another way to do that. And interestingly enough, when the state legislature put in place the calculation of property taxes so that we receive a consistent amount per year under normal conditions, the theory was at the time that every 5 to 8 years, since there's not an inflation factor within that calculation, that counties and municipalities would have to go through truth and taxation in order to adjust for inflation. Summit County has never done that. Other counties in the state have.
Well, and then why haven't we been able to do it until now?
Because we've enjoyed new growth. I mean, we've been a very active county in tourism, and in our past we've been able to rely on that. At this point in time, that hasn't been the case.
All right. You're asking council to look at three options. The first one is the null option. What's that?
So null option is that we calculate taxes, property taxes, the way we always have. We just adjust with the valuations that come in. So in this year, valuations will likely go up, which means that the auditor would adjust the property tax calculation down, or the rate down, in order to get a consistent amount of revenue. And what that would do is that we would have to then adjust our budget in order to react to that. And that would be adjusting capital projects. It would be adjusting other services or dipping into fund balances in order to keep service levels even.
Okay. That's option one, then, is where we would see a reduction of services.
It's possible. I don't know whether that would happen within this budget year, but simply not having the revenue to keep up with inflationary costs or any increases in service that were needed.
Okay. But I guess I don't see reducing services as an option.
It is described within the staff report as that's one of the things that we'd have to do. That's correct.
Okay. The second option is freezing the rate. So does this require a truth and taxation?
Truth and taxation still is required in freezing the rate. So freezing the rate would mean that instead of, you know, I described that we've been experiencing about $200,000 to $300,000 of new growth revenue in the past few years. Freezing the rate would increase that by about another $200,000 approximately for the 2018 year. However, if we took that strategy, we'd have and we needed to do that consistently in order to bring in that revenue, the council would have to do truth in taxation each year in order to freeze the rate.
Okay. And then there's also a 27% increase, which your staff calls the return to buying power option.
Yeah. So we've calculated over the past 5 to 8 years what the buying power of our revenue has done. So with inflation, the buying power of that revenue has gone down. And it's gone down in the general fund by about 64%, in the municipal fund about 17%. So this option brings back the buying power of those revenue sources, and then allows another period of time before the county would have to go through truth and taxation again, as the originators of the law envisioned.
So when we talk about how much, what kind of tax increase that looks like, then I mean, what are we talking about?
I think I read in the staff report that. In the general fund, it would be approximately $15.50 per $100,000 of value. In the municipal fund, I want to say it was $16.50 per $100,000 of value.
Okay. And for those living within municipalities in the county, they would be seeing just an increase in the general fund.
That's correct. So and then in portions of the unincorporated county, you'd also see an increase if the council decided to do that, perhaps an increase with the municipal fund as well.
All right. Now, this comes again on top of property taxes. The Park City School Board, of course, looking at about $100 million bond, which would increase taxes.
And I think that's going to go. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're starting the conversation in May, is because I think the council will need to weigh all of the things that are going on in the community. So one of the things that we've heard at some forums leading up to this or earlier in the year was, well, you may say that the property taxes have never been raised, but my property taxes have been raised. Likely, that's because our other taxing entities that receive property tax revenue have raised their taxes, but the county has not.
And so when we talk about, and I love to ask this question, because when you keep increasing property and sales taxes and at the same time say we need more affordable housing, why? I mean, why would we want to do that? I mean, because, again, they're not going to be paying the taxes to generate the money that you need to provide the services.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a dilemma, and it's something worth talking about. But, you know, the competing sometimes there's competition between your strategic values, and the value that we see from having people that work in our community who also live in our community. That affects other things. It affects, you know, how people transport themselves around the community, and it affects how people perceive that traffic level. So that's one reason why affordable housing is important. It's also a hedge against the things that affect our economy. If our workers can't and our workforce can't get into the community in an emergency, that could seriously affect us. So there is a level of housing that is needed in order to have that workforce here.
Sure. But how is it that we make it affordable is what I'm saying.
Because
as they're renters, because you know what, they're not paying the property tax bill, but they're certainly going to be paying the rent
And there's strategies around that. I mean, some of the affordable housing is certainly either supported on property that's owned by public entities, perhaps the property tax burden is taken out of that calculation. Certainly, you're also not collecting it at that point to provide services. But you know, there is a way to relieve that burden on the affordable housing.
And when we look into the future and we see what's out there in terms of being to get built, do we just wait for that?
Well, and that's another part of the strategy. I mean, part of the null option, as we talked about earlier, is that we know that there's still entitlement out there to be built. We just don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, for instance, Silver Creek Village, which we've just heard is going to have some affordable units starting this year. It's been 3.5 years since we saw that development agreement approved. So it takes a while for that new growth to happen, even when it's approved. Some of a lot of the square footage at the canyons has not been realized yet as far as property tax growth. You asked Pat Putt a couple weeks ago, you know, why are you so busy but we're not seeing new growth? Well, a lot of things are being put through the process to eventually be built, but we haven't realized that on the ground yet, which means we haven't realized the new growth in our property tax growth.
Yeah, and still, when we see this new growth, I mean, when we look at maybe the Discovery Project, the, 800-900 units at Canyons, Silver Creek Village, again, we know that that doesn't pay their own way anyway. So we're building this, and yet it's not mm-hmm. raising the money that it takes to service the developments.
Right, and you know, part of that could be, the past where we relied on new growth and not also adjusted for inflation so that we could provide those proper service levels. That's all part of the discussion that we're going to have over the next month. And, you know, we've put forth these three options kind of to frame the discussion. But there's a lot of options in between. So I think that's where the discussion's going to go.
Okay. Should be interesting. We've got all Democrats on the county council. Is this where that comes into play?
Well, I'm not gonna go into the partisan part of that, as you know. But it's a conversation. We talked about it in our strategic planning with the council. We knew it was an issue. We brought it up last year as an issue in the budget, knowing that it was coming. And, you know, from a strategic perspective, as far as providing county services, we've got to talk about where our revenue comes from.
All right. One other minor topic of interest on the agenda, the Summit Land Conservancy asking for a tax exemption for their parcel in Oakley, which was given to the city for the river preservation project. Any issues there?
They're eligible for it. They've made that application. Whether they will stay eligible for it based on what happens with the property, if they end up with the town of Oakley selling that home, splitting it and selling the home, I'm sure that there will be a recalculation of that at that time. So we'll see how this one gets brought forward.
Okay, and finally, the Bonanza Flat update.
Nothing to report at this point. We're still working on the paperwork. We're getting down to the wire, aren't we?
But yeah, you are.
I think you're going to see something close to the next week or the week after. We're working on those dates.
All right, Tom, anything else you wanted to mention?
One last thing. We're starting to see water levels rise a little bit on the east side of the county. So residents, if you are experiencing or noticing any problems with your property that affect life or safety, please call 911 and report that so that we can get the process started on providing help or assistance. If it's just your yard or your landscaping that's being affected, that's not necessarily considered an emergency. It might be an emergency for you, but we have to manage our emergency resources. We also have sandbags available at our road and bridge shop in Wanship for residents to come in and get ahead of time if they think they're going to experience any problems.
Okay, Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Summit County Manager Tom Fisher, you're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. The Park City Planning Commission meeting tomorrow. In the studio with an update, Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Leslie. We heard you wanted to talk to us.
Yeah. The agenda has a couple of continuations. I just wanted to ask you about some of those because there's a public hearing, I think, in each of them. But first is the Park City Film Studios. They're requesting a plat amendment to divide Lot 1. It's about a 30-acre lot into three platted lots of record. How come? I mean, is this part of the plan?
Well, it is part of the plan, and it's also part of the financing package as they go forward. They want to be able to sell a parcel of ground for future development. There is no development currently proposed other than what's in the master plan. This is more a financing vehicle. We spent the last, easily 90 to 120 days making sure the water supply for fire protection was appropriate because the water is supplied from Summit Water, not from the city, and also making sure the parking is adequate and some storm drainage issues.
Okay, because there was talk about a hotel and some commercial development, so that this is what is making that happen?
This potentially could facilitate that. And this allows another developer to come in and complete the master plan rather than the current applicant, which is the owner of the site.
Yeah, the applicant, of course, Quinns Junction Partners, Greg Erickson, who filed for bankruptcy in January. So do those legal issues impact the Planning Commission from making decisions on this?
No. This is completely independent of that and may clean up some of the issues out there as their ability to drive more finance.
Okay. So what's being discussed, it doesn't really change anything to do with the original master plan?
No, this is pretty administrative on this one, and Kirsten Whetstone and the city engineer have worked pretty hard to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted on it.
All right. The village at Empire Pass, the subdivision there, this was on the agenda for last meeting, and again, this is being continued again, so what's the holdup there?
Couple of anomalies. This is the last couple parcels of ground in Empire Pass. And so Planner Whetstone has really worked for 3 or 4 months trying to make sure that, once again, all the details are completed. We did have a little anomaly come up a couple of weeks ago. There's an old mine claim called the Marsac claim that's actually inside the annexation agreement but not inside the master plan development. So the density on that parcel is not part of the Empire density. But it does have some underlying zone density in residential development and open space. So it's a bit of an anomaly. It's not part of the master plan. There's some questions about whether ski access from the Silver Strike lift is allowed or not. So Kirsten is drilling down on that one and trying to clear up the issues for that particular property owner.
So is the Marsac claim within the city limits?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You had also gotten some input regarding that ski. Is that from this Marsac claim, or is it from Brighton Estate property owners?
No. It's from the Marsac claim, and it's down by the Silver Strike lift. It doesn't have anything to do with Bonanza Flat. And yeah, we've had some input. We've had some input from some of the other adjacent property owners to make sure the ski easements were in place as this plat goes forward. It's very, very technical, very, very complex, detail-oriented, but not necessarily complicated from a legislation perspective.
Okay, so this, again, is coming back for
Yeah, it'll come back as soon as we make sure it's is as good as we can get it.
All right. On the regular agenda, of course, we've got Treasury Hill. Staff, I understand, just barely got the traffic study. Have you had time to analyze it?
No. I came in last Thursday. The public can view the traffic study. It's on the city website. Just go to the Treasury Hill section of our website and download the traffic study. It's about 30 pages long. It shows the updated trip generation, but our transportation planning department and city engineer have not reviewed it. I have not looked at it. Francisco Astorga, the program manager for this particular project, has had a quick look at it and asked some questions of the technical folks on what this really means. So the plan for tomorrow night will be to let the applicant make the presentation without interruption, without a whole lot of commentary. Just tell us what you're doing. Tell us why. Tell us why you think this is going to work. Tell us what you think the impacts are, and then the Planning Commission will ask questions. And the real meeting on this matter and Planning Commission commentary will happen in June.
All right. So where was the traffic count done?
Traffic, excuse me. They were done at the corner of Deer Valley Drive and Silver King. Deer Valley Drive and Empire, which is the Cole Sport Jans intersection. They were done at the corner of Lowell and Manor Way, the same locations as the previous traffic studies. They were done during President's Week. Whether or not that was a peak day or not is kind of an open question.
So the study done in 2005 was also done during President's Day?
No, but they're the same study locations.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that's just like one of the busiest weeks of the ski season. So that's a bit of an anomaly in and of itself. Yeah,
it is. But what I think the public needs to recognize is that this is more engineering than planning, and engineers like to compartmentalize and recognize standards and say this is the national standard. This is what we're going to fit into, rather than sort of these socioeconomic specific impacts to a particular neighborhood, which is what planning does. So when you read this report or you look at the information that are coming from the other folks, they're going to be pretty much categorizing it into the national standards, whether it's ASHTO, which is the Association of Traffic Officials, or the Highway Capacity Manual. There's a lot of technical stuff that we're going to have to go through.
So there was one graph in the staff report basically comparing the traffic counts of 05 to this year. About 90% of those numbers had gone up, most of them significantly. So what do we attribute that to? I mean, is it the Epic Pass?
A lot of it's the Epic Pass. A lot of it is Airbnb and VRBO. As a result of this new economy, the resorts are the benefit of probably a third more hot beds or beds that are rented every night because of Airbnb and VRBO, which 20 years ago, we'd have never predicted. 10 years ago, we'd have never predicted. But all of a sudden, we have all these beds. We also have, we're building out the community, and folks tend to feel that they're privileged to go ahead and drive their personal vehicle all by themselves up to the ski resort, ski 2 hours on the Epic Pass, and then go home.
Yeah. So has the applicant offered any mitigation solutions in the report, or is it just that?
They've offered frameworks of mitigation solutions, but not necessarily the details on how any of them are going to work. You'll see in Francisco's staff report that they're encouraging trip reduction. They're encouraging staff to park off-site, but there's really no way that we're going to be able to write a mitigation strategy with that level of detail. We're asking for more detail.
Yeah, but we do know is that we can't expect them to mitigate the traffic that is already here as a result. I mean, they haven't even built anything and the traffic's here.
Right, no, but they're expected to participate. And they may participate as part of their property tax. They may participate as part of impact fees. They may participate as part of the mitigation strategies. So if you think about it, the intersection of Empire and Silver King, which is the lower lot at Park City Mountain Resort, was planned when Park City was originally going through the approvals in the 90s to have a big roundabout in it. which will significantly reduce the amount of intersection conflicts at that location. Whether Treasurer participates in that or not will be part of our conversation. Whether the signals on Deer Valley Drive and Park Avenue are retimed so that we allow more traffic from one direction or another, we'll be talking about that. They did participate early on, as did Park City Mountain Resort, in the original timing of those signals. A lot of technical details to go through. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of late nights working on this one.
All right. The staff is recommending an open house format, and that really the commission not deliberate until after we've gotten some public input?
Yeah, and after the Planning Commission's actually had a chance to read the report and understand what everybody's talking about. The open house format is sort of one step more free form than a work session. So in a work session, the Planning Commission is expected to articulate some of their concerns and ask detailed questions. In this particular case, they're not going to be prepared to do that because the report's only been out for a week. So what we want is we want the applicant to make their best case to the Planning Commission and the public. Let the Planning Commission ask some questions, and then we'll come back and respond because this is such an intense issue.
All right. So how does that impact the schedule?
We're on schedule as best we can be. We could have said no. We said, no, you're not going to do anything at this meeting because it's too late to do a review, but we felt like it was more important to get the public out.
Yeah. So has the applicant officially requested that a decision be made? I mean, are we at that point yet?
No, they haven't officially made that request yet.
Okay. So the plan at this point is still to move along with whatever length it takes to get through the...
We're going
to
muddle along through the system, make sure that we do our job correctly and...
Okay, because once that decision, they ask for that a decision to be made, well, you have like 45 days or something.
Right. If they invoke the state law, we have 45 days to make a decision once they do that. But that'll be a formal request.
Okay, Bruce, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, but the next meeting on the 24th of May will also be busy. We'll be bringing back some things on our new employee housing at 1450 1460 Park. Those houses are out of the ground. They're getting the roofs put on them. We're just going to go through a little discussion about the parking off of Sullivan Road.
Okay. Bruce, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
841 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, Park City Mark once again offering their free lunchtime learning. That's happening tomorrow. In the studio to tell us more about that is Wellness Coordinator Cole Johnson, along with this month's guest, Miley McCain. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Thank you. We are here to invite the community to our free lunchtime learning tomorrow from 12 to 1 at the PC Mark. And here with me today is our speaker, Miley McCain.
Okay. Miley, so what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about digestion.
Okay. Fun topic.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, though. You do work as an acupuncture, yeah?
Yep. So I've been practicing Chinese medicine for 9 years now. So it includes acupuncture, herbal medicine, and nutritional therapy. I also incorporate a lot of Ayurveda, which is the medicine from India. They make up Eastern medicine. So I'm going to talk about digestion from an Eastern medicine point of view.
All right. Can you give us just a quick overview of what that looks like?
Sure. So, when you've been a practitioner, especially for 9 years, you wind up talking about the same things over and over. And what I notice, most of my clients have some kind of digestive issue. And in Eastern medicine, we feel that all disease starts with poor digestion. And I see people who try so many different diets, and that's wonderful. But a lot of times, it's little details on how we eat, when we eat. Are we eating with the seasons? So I want to talk more about ways to help your digestion work better, regardless of what you're putting in your body.
Okay. And what are some of the tricks of doing that?
So...
Because I see it says here, with no supplements needed.
Yeah. I see a lot of people take a lot of supplements. And they can be helpful, but we can become dependent on them. I also think they're really expensive. And... I just want people to be able to feel good without having to constantly spend money and taking things to make themselves feel better. So an example would be drinking ginger tea with your meal. If you don't like ginger, you could try lemon water, something simple like that.
All right. And then, so are you saying that the digestion is the root of all of the other ailments that people come into your clinic for?
In Eastern medicine, we believe that illness does start with digestion. And we now know in the West that our digestive system actually has the second largest collection of nerves in the body. And this nervous system acts independent of the brain. It makes all the neurotransmitters in the body. So when you think about your digestive system and the impact that it has on your spiritual health, your mental health, and then that leads to physical health issues. So I would say almost everybody that comes in, there is a digestive component to their issue.
Hmm. And so, I mean, are the supplements you're talking about, like probiotics, things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probiotics, digestive enzymes. You know, I feel like alternative health care practitioners, to stereotype, have become dispensers of supplements. And so I would like to just help people maybe move away from that and be able to look deeper into why do they need so many supplements, what's really going on, and can they correct it with some simple changes?
Yeah. Kimchi?
Kimchi, yep, yep.
Okay, anything else you'd like to say?
I think that's everything.
Okay. Again, Miley McCain will be talking about how to stay well through Eastern medicine. She'll be at the PC Mark tomorrow, noon to 1 p.m., right there at the ground floor at the party room. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Leslie.
KPCW News Time now, 8:45. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.
I'm Jim Weber, Park City resident, owner of Foothill Oriental Rugs, supporting KPCW for 25 years. Our Salt Lake City store actually sells to rug dealers throughout the U.S. We have a huge selection and encourage our customers to live with our carpets in their home prior to purchase to ensure it is the right piece. We are located 2 minutes north of the canyon in Salt Lake City at 1460 Foothill Drive. FoothillOrientalRugs.com.
The Mountain Collective Pass is happy to support KPCW. Mountain Collective is an alliance of 16 ski destinations in Utah, North America, and around the world, with additional days at Alta, Snowbird, and Snow Basin. Nearby resorts such as Sun Valley, Aspen, and Jackson Hole are also available. Details and pass information are at mountaincollective.com.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Connect will screen Hope Lives, Preventing Teen Suicide in Utah on May 9th at 6 p.m. at
KPCW News Time now, 8:47. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the Local News Hour on KPCW. Well, joining me now in the studio, members of the Park City Pony Club, I have Leo Murphy along with his mom, Kara Murphy. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. So, Kara, maybe I'll just kick it off with you. You're here to talk about the club and looking for members. Is that what you're doing? You've got a pony day coming up. I know that.
Yes, we have a pony day coming up on Saturday, which is a great way for the community to come and have a great day with horses. We're going to be brushing horses and riding horses. And what else are we going to be doing, Leo?
And there's a barbecue. Yeah. On the side of the barn, and we're going to be doing some crafts in the barn.
Some crafts, so a great day for the whole family. And that's a fundraiser for our pony club. And a pony club is an organization for children to learn all about horses and safety and teamwork and sportsmanship. So, yeah.
Okay, well, give us the details. It's Saturday, you said, where and when? And
yeah, so you can find out all the details at parkcityponyclub.org. And it will be at different times during the day, depending on how many people we have signed up. And if you register by Thursday, Leo, do you remember what you get if you register by Thursday?
You get a free T-shirt.
Yep, you get a free T-shirt if you go to our website and register by then.
So are these, do you have to have a pony to be in the pony club?
Nope.
No.
Nope. You don't have to have a pony at first. It's something definitely that we work toward is horse ownership. But at first, you don't have to have one. We do a lot of unmounted activities as well, which means off of the horse. So
okay, but it's happening somewhere in Silver Creek. Is that where that you guys?
I think this event is in on Old Ranch Road, and we will give the address to everyone who registers. And you don't have to have a horse. I mean, we will have horses there. We'll have ponies of all sizes, so it can be very young children, and if there is an adult who wants to ride, we're happy to accommodate that as well.
Okay, so Leo, do you have a pony?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
What's your pony's name?
Superhero and Mia.
Superhero and Mia, yeah.
Okay. And so what happens during Pony Club?
What are we getting ready for right now? We're practicing for...
Tetrathlon.
Tetrathlon, which is riding...
Swimming.
Swimming.
Shooting.
And...
Running.
Running. Yep.
Okay.
So that's our next event.
Okay. So again, if people are interested, you've got a...
So parkcityponyclub.org, and we will have details there where you can register for our Pony Day, which is this Saturday. You can bring the whole family, crafts, riding, brushing, a couple of hours of fun.
Okay.
Horses.
Anything else you want to tell us?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right, Leo, Carol, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.